just May 3rd, third day of the Great Race Across Tennessee. Last year when I did it, it was obviously a lot more difficult because I just got out of the hospital. But it's still kind of hard. One of the things I'm missing out on is my kettlebell training, because right now I'm just trying to get that 10 and a half, 11 miles in a day. Kind of putting my focus on that. And of course, last year when I was injured after I had my fall in early March and couldn't do anything for 5 or 6 weeks, one thing, I couldn't walk, but I could do cross training, and I got into doing kettlebell. And it's because I heard on the Joe Rogan show, I heard Pavel Sasolin, who's the founder of Strong First, talk about the powers of the kettlebell. And so I decided to get a kettlebell. He said an average man could use a 35-pound bell, and I got a 35-pound, and I couldn't move it, so I went down to 10. But anyways, he's from the former USSR, from the city of Minsk, which is now part of Belarus, a physical trainer for the Spetsnaz, the elite special forces of the Soviet Union in the 80s. He later became subject matter for U.S. Marine Corps, U.S. Service, and the Navy SEALs. And he's widely credited for bringing in the kettlebell into the United States in the 1990s. So this is an article out of Outside Magazine, and it's kind of from excerpts from the Tim Ferriss show, and just basically talking about why kettlebell is the thing to do. And like I said, I really miss doing my kettlebell exercises, and they kind of cover a lot of things here. Ferriss says, people looking to improve their fitness can easily find themselves taking a very scattershot approach, where they feed a lot of recommendations from many different people. What should be their priority? And Pavel says, as long as a person has required ability and symmetry, priority is always strength. Strength is the mother of all physical qualities. And that's definitely true for me. I need to definitely build all around my overall strength. And of course, Pavel is going to say that he thinks the best way to build strength and overall fitness is with the correct kettlebell training. And the great thing about kettlebell training now is there's so many great apps. I use this one that shows you kind of cartoon way to do the exercise, but also videos. And it says, you know, doing that is just the way to do it. And he says, one of the things that's really nice about kettlebell is that when you do it correctly, is you get that what the hell effect. Let's say that you're doing kettlebell exercises, suddenly you go out and test yourself at something you're not been practicing. It turns out you can do more pull-ups, you can walk with a heavier weight much faster, you can lift a heavier weight off the ground. That's the what the hell effect. And I definitely attest to this. I always say that I do a lot of this cross training just so I don't fall like George Burns. Of course, many people now don't know who George Burns was. He's a comedian who lived into his 90s. It wasn't very funny, but I definitely, you know, have always been working on things. And I think the kettlebell has definitely helped me survive a few things where I could have fell, and I grabbed myself because I've been working on this pretty consistently throughout the year. In fact, I started with a 10-pound bell, and I did his Simple and Sinister workout where you do 100 swings, you do 50 on each arm, and you try and do them under 5 minutes. And so when you can do under 5 minutes, you can move up. So I went 10, 15, 20, 25-pound bell, 30-pound bell. I can do the 100 swings in under 5 minutes. And right now I am stuck at the average man 35-pound bell. Haven't been able to quite get the 100 swings in 50 in 5 minutes. But I haven't really been working on it too much. Kind of plateaued and just happy with what I've been doing lately. And it says that high-yield exercises for kettlebell are the one-arm swing, like I was talking about, the get-up, and a goblet squat. Just do these three exercises, and I guarantee that you're going to get a great return on your investment. And that's definitely the case. The get-up, I can do the half get-up pretty good, but when you got to go from your knees up into standing position, the knees just say, that's not good. One thing that I definitely need to work on, and he talks about training advices, when in doubt, train your grip and your core. Could you elaborate on that? And he says there's a thing called irradiation. What it really means is that if you contract a muscle, the tension from the muscles go spill over to neighboring muscles. So try this. Make a fist. Feel the tension in your forearm. Now make a tight fist. You're going to feel the tension in your biceps and triceps. Now make a white knuckle fist. You're going to find that tension is spreading to your shoulder, your lat, your back, and so on. Certain areas of the body have the great overflow of tension, and the gripping muscles are among them. We have special techniques where you increase that pressure and maximize your power. That's one way we can increase your strength. What are the most kind of productive misconceptions about strength training? And I like this one a lot. He says, number one is that you have to go to failure every time you train. And that's the same thing with running. People think you just got to go out hard all the time. And he says he's looked at Soviet weightlifting methodology from the 60s through the 80s, the glory days, and he found that they typically did 1/3 to 2/3 of maximal reps per set. What does that mean? Let's say that you're using weight that you're 10 rep max. 10 is all you could do if you pushed yourself. They would do 3 to 6 reps consistently. So yeah, they're just building, you know, that strength. They're building that endurance. And then he says, any tips on conditioning? Start with efficiency. That means posture and relaxation. If your head is sticking forward, for example, your running speed and endurance is going to be compromised. So work on your posture. And even though I might look it like it, I'm always working on my form. I try and look in the mirrors, look at the shadows, and count my steps. I find, you know, you try and keep that 180 steps a minute, just count one leg. It definitely helps. And you see so many people when they're out running and they have just terrible form. And, you know, you just keep practicing. It's kind of like if you're always shanking the golf ball, why would you, you know, just hit the ball, you know, only hit a ball until you get it perfect or pretty close. It won't sit there hitting 1,000 balls where they're all getting shanked off. So he says one of the things that happened in the Soviet Union that really worked for well was in the Soviet Union, it was standard practice for all kids in grade school to practice relaxation exercises. And that's the same practice that stayed with all the athletes all the way to the Olympics. These exercises are very simple. They pretty much mean shaking your muscles out. Start shaking your arms, shaking your legs, vibrate them. Imagine what you're going, trying to shake water off your limbs, kind of like a wet dog. Practice these exercises really between sets of your strength exercise is going to be a very long way towards endurance and making you faster. The next item, you would want to strengthen your respiratory muscles with breathing. In our kettlebell exercises, we do something called the biomechanical breathing match. So say we're performing a set of swings. On the way down, we sharply inhale into the abdomen through the nose. So you're inhaling against the resistance of your muscles and against the resistance to weight. And on the way up, you're forcefully exhaling as if you're striking. That's how we strengthen our breathing muscles. And I've definitely been working on that breathing, especially after talking to my buddy Bob Davidson. Been doing the Wim Hof 30 breathes. And I definitely feel it like when I'm out walking on my workouts, when I start feeling really kind of ugh, I just do a 30 breathing exercises, and it's amazing how much better I feel. And then Ferris asks a question. Talk about how important it is in exercise, sports, and life to be able to switch yourself on and off. What are techniques that make this possible for anyone? And that's definitely true. It's true that most people exist between the on-off switch. They're unable to really turn on, and they are unable to really switch off and enjoy some rest. One old technique for doing this is called Jacobson's progressive relaxation. It involves lying down and progressively tensing all your muscles and relaxing in a particular order that makes you aware of tension and the release of tension. Throughout the day and during your training, you should also be particularly aware of your facial tension. Meditation and breathing exercises from yoga are also definitely helpful. And then what habits allow people to have balance with priorities? What are the things that do other people that don't do? Well, I think one is calm. These people are calm. Because people are hyper, they are so trapped in their reactive modes. They get too trapped in the everyday minutiae of their work and their existence, so they do not pause and they do not think. Calm is contagious. So when a person is calm, then he or she has time to meditate, flex, set priorities, and set the balance. And so great words to live by and try and work with. And I know myself, I'm really trying to work on those and just hoping to make it like, so as I get older and have health issues, I can still maintain some sort of competitiveness and enjoy my training as much as possible. So as always, stay healthy, be boring, and please subscribe.